GM friends.
Good morning, y'all.
Hello.
Hey, Dano. Hey, Francesco.
Hey.
Hello. Hey, guys.
How are you? All good?
Yeah.
Safely returned from Denver, from Amsterdam.
Yeah. Oh, Helen's here. Nice. Hi, Helen. Oh, she's connecting.
Do we know if Grace is, she's joining?
Grace, that's a good question. I do not know.
She asked me this morning about some of the validator projections that Devin had put together. So I suspect that's because she's planning to be here.
Nice. If we can wait a couple of minutes. Oh, hey, Grace. I saw you.
Hey, how's it going? How is everyone?
Hey, Grace.
Hello. I can maybe share my screen. Francesco, did you already drop the agenda in the chat?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, amazing.
Let me do it again.
Oh yeah.
So I think. Yeah. There you are.
Cool. Looks like we kind of have quorum at least, so we can get started. It is recording, so thank you whoever did that. We're at the May 10th basic contributor call. The antitrust notice, please follow that. Everyone's familiar. The meeting's being recorded. Please mute unless speaking. If you have questions, please use the raise hand feature. General, so we have kind of I tried to get rid of, maybe to set the stage for today, get rid of a lot of the junk we had from old agendas. I think we can spend some time, if we want, on the incentive program, talk about the releases. I think there are two work updates, Merge, of course, and SnapSync. And then there's kind of some other business down here that I have also left in. So I think there's quite a bit. Is there anything, I guess, like high urgency that we must hit on this list so we make sure we don't miss it? Okay, nothing. So, then we'll just run down the list. Starting at the top, incentive program. I guess there's one new update as of the last. So the final agreements are not in place, but the validators are officially up and running. So just wanted to say that. I know, Hart, this is the document from the Hyperledger side. And now it's just a matter of the legal teams reviewing, correct?
Grace, yes, that is correct. So Tim also asked us to start doing the mainnet maintainer documentation. I believe you were on that email, as was Dano. I don't know if anyone else was. So I wanted to
recall receiving such an email. What was the title of it and when was it sent?
Let me pull it up. Sorry for the slight delay. You're correct. Sorry, it was only Grace was on it, but you were not. Sorry, Dano.
Sounds kind of important.
Yes, actually, okay, well, right, so I don't think it's urgent, but Tim wanted us to start setting up the mainnet maintainer contribution list. So I was going to ask the community for suggestions on, you know, how they best want to do that. In the document, I suggest a markdown file where people can link their contributions and briefly say what they are. So if anyone has any suggestions on that, I'd love to hear them. And I'm sure Tim would probably as well.
I believe we started tagging lots of issues with a mainnet tag in order to help us reason about this problem. So it should be fairly easy for us to go through and at least gather those. And like you said, write a synopsis on what each person contributed.
Sorry, so how long has this been going on?
Three months or so since the beginning of the year, I believe.
Yeah, I think we started doing that in response to the problem of being able to attribute mainnet contributions.
And so was this just consensus policy, or was there some other coordination that was supposed to go on with this?
I believe this was communicated, but I think it might be helpful to take a step back because there are some new people and some, I think some context is important. So I'm going to just give the context. I apologize. And then we can go from there. I need to look at the email from Tim. I didn't read it closely. So we can also look at that in a sec. So as a part of the incentive program, we decided that only mainnet maintainer contributions will be included as a part of the, I'm just going to go to this. As a part of the eligibility for counting towards being eligible for receiving withdrawal keys. So we decided that there are kind of different tiers of mainnet of contributions, if that makes sense. And I'm busy right now. Try again later. No, that's not fair. There we go. We had different eligibility for different people depending on their type of contribution. So they were kind of different. I just want to pull it up just so we're like speaking the same thing. So there is a contributor who is an individual contributing to Hyperledger Basu. They are not an active maintainer. We can talk about the maintainer process in a minute. They are not directly eligible for any share of the transaction fees, validator rewards, or withdrawal key distributions in the program. Then there's a mainnet maintainer who is listed as an active maintainer and whose contributions are focused on Ethereum mainnet development as defined above. So we have that. I'm just setting this up because I just think it's helpful. Yeah, so this is the Ethereum mainnet development part, just saying that out loud. And then we have, they are eligible for share of transaction fees and validator rewards, but are not eligible for withdrawal key distributions. Mainnet maintainers are expected to have at least one substantial contribution to Ethereum mainnet development during the vested period to be eligible for a share of transaction fees and Ethereum and validator rewards. I want to make sure we're saying the right language here. Then there's a patron maintainer was, and this is at the sole requirement, sole discretion of the EF, of naming who is a patron require, a patron maintainer, and they're eligible for a share of the transaction fee and validator awards. And then there's a patron organization who is eligible also at for a share of the transaction fees. So at this point, at the start of the program, just to be clear, Consensus and Hyperledger founders are the only ones considered patron organizations. Now, we did that quick reminder. So I think we had previously discussed as a part of the work to help us be able to track like who is doing main network versus who is doing, you know, private, you know, integration with Quorum work, for example, is a good example of non-main network. The one proposal we put forward was having a tag to help identify that. In addition, there was also the discussion with Tim to say, you know, they definitely want it to be a community-driven initiative for who is raising their hands as basically being qualifying for a maintainer and patron maintainer status. So with that, Dana, I can go back and look if I believe we had discussed that in the contributor calls of just adding a tag to help, you know, kind of with the organization of it. But the other key was, you know, it is also, you can raise your own hand. It's not necessarily, we didn't say you must have tagged issues, you know, accordingly. It was just one way to help.
Right. It's just, I come into a meeting and I hear there's an email that I was supposed to be on that apparently I wasn't. So it's a little surprising to find this out on, you know, a little bit of, you know, finding this out a few hours ago, I think would have been better. So it's just makes me feel like I'm out of the loop. Even though basically nothing's changed, it would be nice to, you know, understand that.
Yeah, sorry. That's my fault for just not checking all of the email recipients.
So I think the ask, though, to be clear, is that Tim would like us now to start, and again, apologies, I missed the email. The ask is for us to now start that community-led initiative of self-identifying or nominating someone else to be eligible for the maintainer status. And so, Gary, you were saying, or Justin, sorry, you know, you can self-nominate. I'll follow up with Tim on what the email said exactly, or if hard if you have it in front of you. But we want to just start nominating for the first period. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I can read the exact words if you like. Sorry.
Could you remind me what the first period date-wise comprises?
It comprises 6 months after the merge.
Okay, cool. So it's triggered by the actual merge. Okay.
Yep. So yeah, so Tim, quote from Tim, I think the next step to set these TBD percentages, which are based on the maintainer contributions, would be to compile the list of eligible contributors on the Besu side. I think for simplicity, it probably makes sense to look at contributions since the start of this year for this first period, and then have it run until withdrawals go live and the first credentials are distributed. So just starting from this year.
So I guess, yeah, it's not, maybe that's why I pay attention to it. It's not an urgent ask.
Yeah, it's not urgent at all. It's just like, nothing like, I think apparently you just got the node operator proposal. So like this obviously has to follow after that. So it's not urgent, but it's just like, you know, I was at the Asian meeting last time and there were some questions over how exactly we wanted to do this. And I don't think anyone cares too much about how it's done as long as it's done and it's done in a way that makes it easy for the Ethereum Foundation folks to go over the contributions. So I just was hoping to get feedback, you know, from you all.
I think so. Is there someone who wants to take point of just helping consolidate that list or starting to just manage? Or I think the idea is, and I apologize, I haven't read all of the agreements in a little while. I was poking through them this morning, but not as closely as I have. The idea is that they will self-nominate by going through, are we consolidating the list first, or are we, is each person sending it directly to the EF? That's so, what I can't remember.
So the way we agreed, and you actually didn't want a maintainer to do it, Grace.
Yes, I don't. Yes, so I was like, we didn't agree to that, right? I don't think we did.
I'm quickly modifying the text. Like Grace said, she would do this.
Yeah.
So we can change this. Like this isn't set in stone, but our plan was for some HLF staff member to be responsible for creating some kind of like markdown file or something where people could add their own contributions. So the idea was that the individuals would be responsible for adding their contributions, but the like orchestration would be done by the staff.
But I was like, but it's been a few months. Okay.
So the question is, where do you want that file? What do you want that file to be? And like, Just those sort of questions or questions for the community?
Yeah, got it. I think my leaning is very simple and very basic, and you can put your name, your GitHub handle, and like links to whatever you did. You know, whether it's an issue, whether it's a proposal, whether you just write in what you did. I don't want to like designate, like I don't want to make it, I think a very, I don't know. Yeah, I'm like, however folks want to kind of just prove it. I'm not too.
So just to clarify, this is for the self-nomination process or?
Self-nomination, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So like if you're wanting to just rely on, get commit history and tags and things like that, then you don't necessarily need to have specific entries in this markdown?
No, I think you need to at least put your name there.
Okay, so this would be like the canonical list of...
Yeah, this would be the mainnet maintainer list. So if you are a Basu maintainer, then you can put your name on this list and you can, point out your mainnet contributions. I spoke with Sally the other week about possibly automating this, but there's likely to be, I would be surprised if we could fully automate this just because the EF has expressed that they don't want to have to dig through, they want to do essentially the minimum work possible. And it can sometimes be hard to put contributions in context. Did that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I just was curious whether this was for the self-nomination or it sounds like this is going to be the entry point for the EF.
Yep. Yeah. So the EF is going to come by and basically look at this like once a period and decide how to allocate the fees, basically. It's all in the document, if you're curious.
So it sounds like no one has strong opinions of you must include this or you must include this type of commit. I think just a very simple template sounds fine. And if the staff doesn't mind just pulling together just name, repo, or the like, you know, a template where folks can put their name, their GitHub handle, and the links or the links to their commits, I think that's fine.
Yeah. And maybe So the question is, where do we want that? And I'll figure out once we have a location, I'll figure out who maintains it. And it may be useful to provide some context. Like sometimes fixing a tricky bug doesn't look like a huge contribution in metrics, right?
And sometimes a key contribution won't even be in a PR, it'll be in someone else's PR.
Yeah. So if you have these kind of contributions, you may want to list them. But I mean, I doubt there will be a lot of like borderline cases. So I think it's very clear for like a lot of people that they are mainnet maintainers, but we just want to get this in place in case we do have, in case we run into some gray area cases.
I think my only ask is that I think it only makes sense given the contributions already and everything here is open source for it just be an open list on and it could be on the wiki.
Yeah, right? So
our
plan was for it to be an open list. Do you want it on the wiki or do you want it on a GitHub somewhere or what?
Anyone care?
My suggestion is the wiki, just to keep it kind of clean and underneath the Hyperledger umbrella a little more. And the GitHub is already kind of a mess, but I'm open to suggestions.
I was weakly leaning towards the wiki as well. Not super strong opinion though.
I lean towards GitHub weekly just because I don't really like the wiki. Honestly, the I can never really find anything in the hierarchy there. And I think a top level markdown in GitHub would be easier, but it's weekly held opinion.
It could also be both. It might incentivize people to want to be, if they're looking at the Git, to contribute if we mention the process and that there is potentially monetary reward tied to it. If we do it on the Git directly. But I think we could also do both. It's not a huge lift, especially as the list is small right now. If we get into a perspective where we have too many contributors that we need to manage, I think that's a good problem to have and we can kind of figure it out later.
Okay. So both for now. I think it's only going to be like 7 people, so it's this is as Matt said. Okay.
How are we doing duplication if it's both?
Yeah, I don't know that we should design duplication.
Is there a way for the wiki to pull from the markdown and just display it on the page? Like if we did a markdown on GitHub.
I have done that in past lives. I could not speak to the current capabilities of Hyperledger's wiki.
Seems like it would be relatively trivial, but again, I don't want to speak to that.
Let's all right, so try out of band. And then why don't we just do it in GitHub for now and figure out a way to make it accessible from the wiki?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry, Herc, go ahead.
No, this is fine. I mean, we don't have to immediately do this too. This is not something that needs to be done immediately. I don't know if it's possible to pull from GitHub on the wiki. I'll ask. I'm not a wiki expert by any stretch of the imagination. It might be possible. In theory, it should be possible, but you just never know with these things.
Okay. Well, I think we have a tentative plan and housing on GitHub, linking or having it at least be findable on the wiki is great and everyone will self-nominate. Besides that, I think we can keep moving just because we have a big agenda. Release updates. Looks like Jason's next for 22.4.1. Any comments or questions on the releases?
What did people think of this last session where we just did everything straight off a master branch? Good, bad, do it again, don't do it again?
I liked it.
Yep, it was great.
Okay, for 22.7, then I would propose we do the same thing where the RCs replace the weeklies and we just keep going off a master. It really simplifies development.
I get behind that.
I have a branch that is like kind of risky to just directly put into these shadow forks and stuff. What should I do with that then? Should I would like to have some, I don't know, I'm just curious. Like if nobody minds, if I just put it into master and something breaks for people, then I'm not too much against it. But like, I don't know if you understand what I mean.
So
go on.
So, right. We haven't had beta builds or branch builds except for the merge for most of the history of Beisu. We've been trying to keep a master, everything builds, everything runs correctly for a long time because we got, you know, the reference tests and a huge suite of acceptance tests. So in theory, any known breakage should happen immediately. But that's also the reason why we have the quarterly beta releases or the RC releases, where things that we know that are risky and high risk, I've traditionally waited to put big things like that, like the EVM refactoring and the switch from gas to long. I've waited for those to go into like the RC1 or the RC2 releases. So we get a couple of weeks of an appropriately labeled build that says, hey, this might break on you. You know, it's an RC or it's a beta. You shouldn't expect production quality out of it. Although we think it's production quality, we put some risky things in. So that kind of has been the philosophy we have for a while. If there is a different philosophy we should go to, I'm all for it. We just probably would need to formalize it so everyone is on the same page.
So should I be aware of upfront which build we are building towards or something? That's what you're saying?
Right. When you have like something that's going to break backwards compatibility or something that's a high risk change, we've been holding off until the quarterly releases to have the first drop of it. So you'd have a PR, it might go on for a long time. And then when we start doing the beta builds, it gets merged first. So we have a lot more long build time. That's also when we've been trying to do our major dependency upgrades. We've kind of, you know, fallen off the wagon with that. We don't have a formal policy or anyone tasked with making sure that happens or anything on a checklist. But that's also in the past when we've been adding, you know, all our major upgrades, because you'll be surprised at what dependencies. No one's really good with semver versioning. They say they are, but when the rubber hits the road, there's always things that break because we might have been depending on a bug. So that's part of the reason why we would upgrade security related ones as needed, and we would do bulk upgrades on the quarter as kind of, you know, the quarterly releases to do that. So
okay, I'm just a little bit worried that keeping my things for later might cause issues in some other way. Okay. I would like to integrate with, if anybody else has similar things like for quarterly release or something, I would like to integrate sooner rather than later. Anyways, as a matter. It's not a big deal.
But your feature, it's an experimental feature or something like that?
So I'm working on these backward sync things, and when I change there something, and I don't want to depress people by breaking something that already was working before or whatever while we're moving, we're using with all these shadow forks. So ideally, if I would like to always have the newest build and my own build with that thing in parallel to see whether I didn't break something from the next shadow fork or whatever. But that's like just in my head. So I was just thinking, how can I do it in a way that I don't disappoint people? Anyways. I don't know if that explains your question, Mr. Kahn. Anyway.
Yes. No.
It's mostly getting used to acceptable levels of risk. Yeah, and I agree that it's hard to manage, it's hard to balance, and there's, you know, you don't want to break other people's work, but at some point it's going to have to merge and you'll find out one way or the other. Testing is supposed to address this, but none of us are as clever as the people finding the bugs. So it's, it's always a challenge.
There's also some middle ground, especially with the shadow forks in this case, Yuri, is that we can do these snapshot builds off of a branch that's not necessarily merged into main and participate in the shadow fork with those and give some additional confidence in the changes before we merge to main.
Okay, thank you.
Cool. No, that's good feedback. Interest of time, just moving along, or any final release commentary? Cool, work updates. Merge update. Who would like to speak to this? I think mostly everyone's on the same page, but
any? Yeah, I can say merge is coming along nicely. There is tentatively, we would like to get in the 22.4.1 release, the next release of that merge configurations and terminal total difficulty for Ropsten. There's some outstanding work that we have to make sure that we're passing the Hive 2 test suite. We've got some additional sort of soft criteria that we want to have before we have a Ropsten specific merge release. You know, just mostly regarding specific behavior with latest valid hash and like our sync cases when we start sync prior to TTD terminal total difficulty and finish sync pivot past terminal total difficulty. And just making sure, since the merge complicates a lot of the sync situations, we want to make sure that we syncing crossing TTD and syncing post TTD are solid before we bake that into a release. But that's pretty much where the merge status is right now. We're looking towards this next release supporting at least the merge of Ropsten.
Cool, that's exciting. Any questions?
There's also a mainnet shadow fork 4 on Thursday. Just a heads up.
Awesome. Kareem, any update with SnapSync in particular?
Yes, small update, just to say we merged the SnapSync on the main branch. It's also on the last release, so 22.4.0. And we did some benchmarks, so we have good results. With Matt, we are working on the block to specify all of the results we have. And just to summarize some results we have, for example, we reduced the time of the world states thanks to SnapSync on Gurley from 4 hours to 1 hour on Gurley. And on mainnet, it's from 1 day and 20 hours to 6 hours and a half, something like that. So it's improving the world state part, and we still have some issue in the block import, but it's not related to SnapSync. And some users started to use SnapSync, so we found some small issues, but nothing important. So we are trying to fix that.
And it's your feedback is good. That's a good thing. Yeah. Good that someone is actually using it. That's what we want.
I think it's awesome. We have it. Good job, Kareem. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah, congrats. It was a tall order.
Awesome. That's exciting. Next up, automated security bots. I think we did this last time. We don't have any high priority requests, correct?
We don't even have any unique requests.
Yeah. Yeah. I figured. Next one, the debugging issue. Justin, is there any other updates here that you want to share?
I think this is okay. Since we switched from Debian to Ubuntu, we have much better access to JDKs. And so the debug image, I just need to update it from using a JRE to a JDK so it has the tools that we need on there. So I think we're good on this. You can strike it from the agenda going forward.
Related to that, since it is Docker related, we are now building multi-arch Docker images So the basic Hyperledger Basu images should have AMD 64 and ARM 64 multi-arch builds. I think there's currently an outstanding problem with the develop multi-arch build, but I'm going to see if I can sort that out shortly. But that's been a long time coming.
Awesome. All good things. So I think this is, I believe this is new around the code maintainers and non-code maintainers proposal. Who is the right person to speak to this?
Go ahead, Dan. I was just kind of organizing the communication on this. It was something that we talked about in the past. And I know that Rise set up a separate group in GitHub so that we can provide project managers and other folks that are interested in prioritizing and road mapping and milestones and all that fun stuff, get them the access that they need to it. So I think this kind of just codifies that, puts it into a document so we can vote it the same way we vote on everything else. And the details on how to do that are outlined in our existing process for onboarding new members and awarding them rights in GitHub. So I don't know that we need to discuss it a different approval process because the existing one does cover this case. And I believe there's already been a separate section added to the maintainers that defines these people as non-code maintainers.
So that's also glossing over what happened in 3790, where I asked, do we need this process? And the PR was removed. And there were some open questions that I don't think were resolved. One of them is, does that group with triage, does that have the rights that they need? I never heard back on that. Is that group actually working? Does who was it that we had back in let me bring up my page where I had these. Which group is it? Which page? I had this. 3790 or 3359. 3359, when we're looking to get Ryan Jones in and we put him in a different group with those permissions. Are those permissions sufficient? Can he do his job?
I don't know.
So we need to answer that question because that's going to be the permission that the non-code maintainers would get. So that's an open question. And I guess the next thing would be, you know, when this was decided to be closed 3 months ago, back in February, I want to know what changed. Why is this? Why are we, you know, what's substantially different from it? So that's my main ask.
My understanding is that it was closed because we were providing a separate tier of users there.
Right, but so it was, the proposal was to add him as a non-code maintainer, and then I asked the questions, would the code changes be sufficient? And then, okay, so this went in, when did this go in? This was an edit to the maintainers list.
Right, this is, if you click on the files change, you can see that it's just making a separate section for the two people that were already on that list, Madeline and Sajid, I believe.
Right, but the vibe I got from the James thing is that we were going to stop having this category and we were just going to give them the rights as needed, just to move it, and if the triage was going to be sufficient. So the first thing I would want to know is triage sufficient? Is it working? And I think that's actually the most important question above, should we have non-code maintainers or not?
Yeah, so I can speak to this a little bit. I was trying to, I currently can't log into my Git and Zenhub for some reason, so that's another issue. But the other day when I tested the permissions of the one group with Rye, it seemed sufficient to be able to triage, like label, create new issues, and like move stuff around. But again, I want to confirm that right now, but I just seemingly can't log in.
Yeah, I can confirm that. I'm Helen. I was requesting a triage role before, and it was sufficient to be added to that team to be able to do the things that I wanted to do.
Okay. So that's great. That's good news, actually, if the triage group is providing the work we need. do we need a heavyweight process to add and remove people from that list, I guess, is my next question. Because this having to vote and having to have 2 weeks out there and then having to have a vote to take people off when they move on to other projects, that seems fairly heavyweight for what's going on here. Do we need it to be this heavyweight?
From my perspective, my opinion is that we won't need it. I think having it just being added to the triage team was sufficient. So I'll be for not having a heavy process for it.
Okay. More of a lighter weight process, more of a, hey, I'm working with this team. The team says, yes, they're working with me. That's something I would support.
I would agree with that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I can also confirm, I just got logged in, that my permissions are working correctly. So the group should at least be sufficient to get it done what we need.
Okay. Cool.
So part of my ignorance. So there's a triage group permission. There's a maintainer level permission. Obviously, I know what the maintainer process is. We're saying that, are we saying we no longer need, like, we used to get, like, for example, we gave VJ maintainer access. Well, you know, right. He was the PM.
Right. And Tim. Now,
and Tim, yeah. So we're saying it's no longer required.
Right.
The way the permissions instead, we're just going to give triage access, and that works. And there's no non-code and right. maintainer status.
Right. That will, we could put it a different name or whatever, but I don't think we need a heavy, I think the process is too heavyweight. I guess would be my thing. But what was different then was triage level wasn't working with ZenHub. They required okay. write access, and they required the access level that allowed you to press the merge button. And that does need the heavyweight process. But okay. if you can't push the merge button, I feel like the heavyweight process is going to cause too much friction in getting people's work done. So we could rename it or do whatever, but I'm satisfied giving triage to people who work with our teams without having to go through a formal process involving voting.
Seconded.
Yeah. So basically maintainer access, you can hit merge. Triage mm-hmm. access, you can't. So no process required. We can give triage access as requested, basically.
Social process required, not formal process required.
Cool. Okay. Cool. Any objections or comments of things that I wasn't clear on the nuances myself, so that was helpful for me.
Historically, is there any other, besides merging, is there anything else that a PM role would need, like a triage role would need? Because it doesn't seem terribly pressing to be able to hit the merge button. So I was just wondering if there's anything else that was causing prior, like BJ or Tim, to need maintainer access.
ZenHub wouldn't let you even log in unless you had write access to. You couldn't move stuff around. You couldn't use ZenHub. They fixed their permission issues in the last year, it looks like.
No. Cool. Yeah. No objections. Sounds great.
Cool. That's exciting. I like when problems are solved. Sounds good. Francesco, just make sure to just kind of capture that in the notes when you get a sec, because I think that's helpful. Next up, security audit update. So I had a question. I know we had some conversations about going through a security audit with Tavora, and I just didn't know what the latest was or if they had started or what their current timeline was. I know we wanted to be the only or the first or and or only client to go through consensus client to go through a security audit prior to the merge. So just was curious where we were.
So one thing they need is a survey filled out, and I don't know enough of the details about the merge ports and everything else set up to I think sufficiently fill it out. It's one thing they need from the developers. But other than that, they're trying to get stuff started. So no clear information on the timeline once we get the information on the ports needed for merge access. What do you call it? You don't call it the merge port. What do you call it?
Nginx,
ETH engine, yes, the ETH engine port. So once we get the information on that, I think they can get it slotted in and scheduled.
That's actually changing at the moment. But yeah, that's no problem. We can get them that as soon as possible.
So did you already start the questionnaire response demo, and we can fill that in, or do you want us to start from scratch and then we can socialize the answers?
I think we should start from scratch. I got a brief look at it, and then I got a look at my work deadline timeline last week, and I kind of freaked out. So okay. Luckily the deadline's passed, so I can get some more time on it. But
okay, we can add that to the list of things to do soon. I think I saw recently that in the last day or two, the questionnaire come through, so we can get a start on that and then just maybe communicate that via the channel and make sure that everybody is in agreement on the answers.
Awesome. Sounds good to me. Thanks. Appreciate the update on that. I wasn't actually sure. Last item here in this section, validator experience with Basu. Matt, I know you kind of wanted to add this to the agenda. Want to go to it?
It's more just a brief point. And as Karim mentioned, it's relating to work that we're already doing ongoing, but we're looking at how we kind of are going to start prioritizing post-merge kind of features and development roadmaps. I think that it makes sense given some of our users and customers to look at the validator experience and put some of our energy there. But I wanted to, of course, bring it up with this group to see thoughts and concerns and discuss kind of what that looks like. But right now it's mostly around basically making sure that we're getting the right attention and usage of our already existing features around things like Bonsai and SnapSync, and kind of positioning Basu as very performant and kind of robust when it comes to that validator stack on mainnet. But again, it was mostly just a means to bring it up in discussion and see if anyone had any other issues against this kind of direction. But yeah, that's kind of my point. Silence is golden. So that's
good. Yeah. I mean, the more exposure we get, I think the more noise we make about basically as an execution engine in the merge, I think the better, especially when we can tout those features that are differentiating.
So do you want to already advertise us as the most performant or something, or do you want to first, before you do that?
Well, I want to make sure that we can not lie, right? So we're working on those. I'm working on the pieces now to talk through some of the things like with SnapSync and with Bonsai. We are more performant in some areas, not necessarily the most performant. But with your work, Erie, around backwards syncing and thinking through kind of some novel approaches, I think we'll have more ground to stand on. But yeah, I just wanted, this is mostly to validate the approach. And I think that we have kind of what we need to go forward.
So I'll jump in here and say, if you all want to do some kind of like advertising or promotion campaign or anything like that, I'd encourage you to mail the CA architects. David Boswell does a lot of stuff with this. So you may want to talk to him about it.
Awesome. I'll write that down and take a note.
All righty. 12 minutes left. I think I'm going to propose we skip the insights this time and maybe just look at the roadmap. Any objections?
Love it.
Let's see. So just to be clear, Matt, looks like this is the latest and greatest. This is up to 22.4, and then do we want to talk to just 22.7?
Yeah, so I mean, we've been kind of in a whirlwind process of looking at this actual road mapping. So I would suggest, I would say that the 22.4 items, some of them are probably pushed down a little bit. But you know, like we have Bonsai, of course, SnapSync, and a lot of the client enhancements are either in progress or are being pushed in kind of now. The MEV stuff, we're thinking it through, but it's kind of lower priority in terms of being focused around the merge and making sure that we're merge compliant and participating appropriately in the testnets. Also, the spec is kind of in flux with regards to the entire community. So that one is a little bit, I mean, this roadmap item is correct. We are exploring the options for supporting MEV, but we do not have a way forward yet. And it's kind of still in progress. And if you go down on 22.7, yeah, so it's still, these are still kind of some of our open items here. Of course, working on the merge as usual, seeing how we can support rollups more broadly around, you know, general programmability or repurposing some APIs in order to better support different rollups frameworks. So we have ways forward on this. It's more a matter of when do we want to kind of prioritize this and get, you know, feedback from everybody on what the approach should be to reduce possible introductions of regressions or issues with regards to the merge. So the timelines on these are a little bit in flux, but it's mostly around, you know, how do we prioritize, again, being merge compliant with some of these other things like MEV, like rollup support. And then of course the ever looming Shanghai fork. So it's a matter of timelines. And I think that the merge timelines are starting to kind of solidify, but there's no official date yet. So as we know a little more about that, we'll be able to kind of rework some of these roadmap items, I'd say. But for now, they're pretty much notional on the next quarterly release, focusing on the merge at the top would be my suggestion. So I can go in at some point to that effect once I know a little bit more and clean this up with some feedback and comments and see what people have to say.
Cool, that sounds good. Any comments or questions?
Any clarity on what optimistic support would mean? Would we have a rollup that's run from Besu? Would we join in other rollups?
So
my understanding of that rollup communities are all single clients so far.
Yeah, so pretty much everything as far as mainnet is concerned is running on Geth. I have to engage a little bit more with those groups and see what the desire is for client diversity, because, you know, in the ecosystem, the client diversity issue is no longer just a problem for layer one. It's kind of permeating everywhere. So, you know, I want to understand the requirements of these other rollups a little bit better. And then, of course, there's, you know, some changes that we can make kind of in the short term around rollups, you know, products kind of provide more APIs essentially to allow them to do specific things around programmability and block production that are a little bit more unique that could help with some of these optimistic rollups use cases. So just doing an exploration, not committing to anything quite yet, and just really need to understand the requirements a little bit better. But there have been discussions around kind of rollup client diversity and how can Besu slot into those plans more efficiently. And if that's providing a new set of APIs that allow rollups themselves to interact with the execution engine in a little bit different way, I think that as long as it's merge safe, it's appropriate to explore. But we, again, are just prioritizing the merge stuff. And we don't want to mess with the merge APIs kind of in flight, because a lot of the rollups are looking to take advantage of those merge API changes. And we have some PRs already around, you know, rollup stuff like that. So that's what we're looking at. But the timeline is a little bit dependent upon final, like, you know, the merge API spec being completed and all that stuff. And any changes that might come there between now and the end of the year.
I have a lot of thoughts on this, but 7 minutes is too short. So yeah, ping me later.
All right.
Cool. I think we're at open forum.
Do rollups count as mainnet?
Sorry, what?
Do rollups count as mainnet? Yeah, half joking. Does rollup work count as mainnet?
I'm not certain how much you're joking on that, because Rollups is the official scalability plan, it seems. You get bank sharding, and the bigger issues have to do with things like the sequencers and special privileged access. And it's layer two is a deep, deep well. I had some exposure to it at Reddit, and it's come a lot since over the last 6 months since I've left Reddit. So it's not optimism. Arbitrum's really, you know, switching around with Nitro, completely rebooting everything they're doing. It's a confusing space.
Yeah, so definitely exploratory right now. There's no reason to go down any of these paths until we have a better understanding of what is needed and what's like I said, it's merge safety is kind of the priority. So we're not, you know, there's already been expressed interest in altering some of those APIs. So the question is, what does that look like? Could we create a new set of rollup specific APIs, and would that even be valuable? So there's more exploration to be done there from, you know, a customer and user perspective, and, you know, not a lot of time to do it right now. So that's why it's tentatively, I would even say in the roadmap, it's probably a little farther down than the next quarterly release, but just have to, there's some moving pieces there.
Alrighty. Open forum. Anything else anyone wants to bring up? No, Diego had to leave. I believe we've done some Discord meetups. Correct me if I'm wrong. Anything else anyone wants to bring up or give everyone 5 minutes back? 4 minutes now, darn. All right, time back. I think this is really productive. Appreciate everyone's time here. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks.
Thanks, y'all.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Bye.